Queer and ally fam, listen up. Whether you're searching for a queer-owned coffee shop, a queer-owned tattoo studio, or the coziest queer-owned bookshop, Everywhere is Queer has your back. Our free app connects you to over 17,300 queer-owned businesses worldwide. We have 26 different categories for you to filter between, and yes, we have an online queer-owned business section in app. Our app is available globally on iOS and Android because safer spaces should be everywhere. And if you own a queer business, you'll apply for free via the profile tab of our app. It is now more than ever, the queer, trans, and ally community knows where our safer spaces are, all while supporting queer entrepreneurs. Download Everywhere is Queer today and let's build community together.
This episode and the entire beautiful year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Make those babies, then come tell me about them.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
We really struggled with the terms mom and dad in the beginning. Like, we were really worried.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to call ourselves like Mimi and Dee Dee as like a different, you know, more gender neutral terms in a sense. And I think it was our way of not feeling valid or good enough to be mom, me being mom and him being dad.
Yeah, like imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome, you beautiful people, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie, I'm your gay host, and this is the show that celebrates, highlights, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our fabulously gorgeous identities. Y'all, this episode does not disappoint on that front. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Jacob and Riley. They are a T for T couple. And if you don't know what that means, you're going to find out in the episode. Haha. And they have a really modern, beautiful family. Like, we are taking modern family and we are modernizing modern family in this episode. And it's really going to feel inspiring. And there's a lot of queer empowerment talk that even just re-listening to it just now inspired me like crazy to go on and be my badass queer self. Let's go. Let's all be out there and be badass queer badasses. And I'm going to keep this intro pretty short because my dog is being really, really naughty. My dog is being really, really naughty and she just ate up a pencil. She keeps grabbing things. I'm not even sure where she's finding them. But Kira is really acting up. Oop, she just looked at me. She's really acting up while I try to record this intro. So I'm going to just get to the point where we roll this tape. Just know you're going to love it. And this is one of those stories. I talk a lot about, you know, how in our queer community, accidents don't really happen when it comes to baby making. And while this isn't an accident, it is one of the rare instances where the couple actually got to baby dance the old-fashioned way, if you catch my drift. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, I want you to hear Jacob and Riley. So I'm going to have Gerson and Helen and Beulah, who are not helping me with my mischievous dog right now, at least press the button and roll that tape. All right, ladies, gentlemen, let's do this. Let's roll that tape. Enjoy.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Jacob and Riley.
Hi.
It is a pleasure having you here in the virtual recording studio. I've been excited to hear your story. Let's jump right in. Let's go right into your elevator pitch. So everybody at home or in their cars or on their runs, wherever they happen to be right now, know who you are and why you're here chatting with the Queer Fam Squad. So here we go. On your marks, get set, go.
Hi, I'm Riley. I am a trans woman and a trans mom. My biggest focus right now is raising my son to be emotionally intelligent, nature-focused, and inclusive.
And I'm Jake, and I'm a trans man and a trans dad. So I carried my son, and I'm here to share our story. I'd like to have more representation of seahorse dads out there, and I'd like to connect with more soul family. That's what I'm here for.
Ooh, that was fun. Ooh, I like that. You both got both of your stories in, too, which is kind of amazing.
We did?
Ooh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. I like how you mixed it together, and you didn't really practice it, you said, so that was beautifully
done. No, we didn't.
So let's take it back. I'm excited to hear all about your story.
Yeah, here, you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So
I start the story.
So
this is a modern family. We are really moderning the family in this episode. I love it.
I was working at a restaurant. I've been working there for like 12 years. And at that time, I met my current best friend. And this was before she had her daughter when we met. So we were really close. And then after she had her daughter, we got a lot closer. Unfortunately, her daughter's father had passed away when the daughter was like 1.5, like a little bit around that age, I guess. We ended up living together. We both needed a place to live at the time and like support and family. Mm-hmm. So we ended up moving in together when her daughter was about 2 years old, and now she's 11. So I've been living with her and raising her ever since. And at the time when we platonically, by the way, when we got together as like a family, chosen family, we like didn't know exactly what was going on. It wasn't like, you know, when you have a child with someone, like you most of the time think that, like, oh, I'm going to have a child with this person, and you plan it out. But like the way that it worked for us, it wasn't that way. So I didn't even recognize myself as a parent to her until years after parenting her. We basically had been living that way for a long time, and I felt like it was time to meet my person. So I met Riley, and then we immediately fell crazily in love. And
How did that work out?
So we met online on OkCupid, and I reached out to him first. I took initiative because I liked his bio. He talks a lot about like spirituality and about how he did all this like self-growth. And I love emotional intelligence. I love being able to get deep with people. So I was like instantly attracted. So I reached out to him and we hit it off. And then we went on FaceTime dates first. You know, Jake wanted to not make me feel pressured. So he was like, let's do a FaceTime date. Let's see each other over the phone. And we hit it off. And he did tell me about our now my best friend, too. Aww. He did tell me about her. And, you know, he was a little worried about how I was going to take that. You know, it's an interesting kind of situation coming into, you know, especially when you're getting to know somebody. You're like, oh, is this a weird situation or is this something that may not align with what I'm looking for? Mm-hmm. And I was really open to it. I'm a very open-minded person and I was kind of looking for my own family too. I'm not very close to my own family. So I was looking for my own chosen family and I was like, let's try it. Let's see how it goes. And let's go on physical dates and see how it goes and go from there. And we went on our first date and we hit it off.
And Jacob, I want to ask, Jacob, you were like, at this point, you know, you were like married was the word I was going to say, but not married, but married to being the parent in this other relationship, this platonic relationship.
Right. And also to parent together with this person as well. Like, so like basically like when I was going out on dates, before I even started going out on dates, I was like, I don't believe anyone's going to accept this. Like, I just don't. Right. I was so afraid. And then, like, eventually I was just like, all right, well, I'm just going to try it. Like, people have accepted stranger things, I guess, you know? And, like, so I was telling people, like, yeah. Hi, like, I am single and I'm totally available, but I have a family and right. I want you to know that because they're important to me. So, like, I wasn't trying to keep it, but it was definitely, like, an interesting aspect of dating.
Well, yeah, totally. And then enter Riley, and Riley's like, yeah, I think that's going to be good.
Right. Like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I really had no idea. But yeah, I definitely didn't want to split that family apart, like, at all. Like, I had no intention of that. And so it had ended up working out really well. Like, we love our family now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like it's really turned out really well. And I want to ask, how long had both of you been living in that LGBTQIA community? Like, what are your kind of origin stories to this beautiful community we call home?
I love that question. So my original story, I guess, like I was 11 years old and I was like, I know I like women. I like women. Mm-hmm. I knew that at 11 years old. And my parents were like, you're too young. You don't know anything. So then I was like, 13, 14, 15, I'm like, I really like women. I for sure like women. I don't like men.
We're sure here.
Yeah. it was not like the best accepted, I guess. So I was like trying to like hold on to like this bi I guess at the time, like, I felt like if my mom thought that I was going to be like the possibility of being with a man, like that would be good enough, you know? So I said I was bi for a while, and then we just kind of let it go.
Same.
I thought a lot of people might have done that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I only dated women for a long time with the exception of one person. So I've always been basically like very fluid. but I knew I liked women. It wasn't so much that I never liked men, because I did. And I did date men sometimes. But I think like I was trying to hold on to that identity of like, well, this is like, I really like women, so I'm going to be gay. And, like, that's how it felt, I guess, for a really long time. I'm talking like 20 years. Like, I never dated any like any men. And then I've always felt that way. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that if I could like maybe rewind a little bit, I opened up my mind a little bit more. And now I guess I consider myself pansexual.
Yeah.
Is I guess the best way to explain how I feel now. But I guess from an early age knew that it wasn't considered normal. But then also I'm trans. So that's my sexuality. But then I'm transgender.
Right. When did you embrace the T part of the acronym?
I think at 24 years old is when I really discovered for sure, like, that's how I felt. And then I started to socially transition at that age.
How was your family? Like, have they come back around? Because it sounds like they weren't really on board at first, even with gay.
Yeah, they weren't really on board at first. And I think it's a little bit like sad when I think about it, but like, I think that they were able to accept me a little bit more because I like moved away. And I think that they kind of recognized that maybe if they were to alienate me further, we would be much more distant than we already are. So right now, we live like about 11 hours away from each other. And it's been that way since I was like 19. So, but they are accepting and actually like seems to be pretty good, for the most part though.
Okay. All right. That was beautifully said and told, and thank you. And what about you, Riley? What's your story?
So my story is, at a young age, I always felt different. Like most people in the queer community, I felt kind of like an outcast, and I didn't really feel connected to my body. Mm-hmm. And, growing up, I had a lot of, my dad wasn't in the picture, so my family always kind of was like, you need to be the man in the house. You need to take care of everyone. You need to be the dominant one and play sports. And I was kind of forced into a lot of that. And I'm a very artsy person. I love creativity. So for me, it was opposite of who I was and who I am today. And I eventually made my way into a performing arts academy high school. Yeah, and that girl. Kind of, yes. And it kind of like opened doors for me and showed me a lot more diversity in people and really allowed me to shine. And at that time, it was really hard for me to kind of accept myself, but I was learning from other people like, wow, these people have big personalities and they take up space and maybe I can take up a little space too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I came out as gay at that time. Mm-hmm. And then later on in my high school journey, I realized that I wasn't gay and that I was more pansexual. Mm-hmm. And I considered myself gender fluid at the time. I remember, I'll never forget, I started watching Drag Race and being like, oh my gosh, like these are my people. Like I love like the creativity and the fashion and like all this stuff. And I remember
and the wit.
Yes. And I was like, yes, this is me. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I remember I like went into the bathroom and like put on like my mom's expired makeup that she hadn't used in decades, it felt like. And I put on some like shirts that my sisters didn't use anymore and like, an outfit and whatever. And I remember walking down the stairs and being like, Mom, I am gender fluid. And I think that was like a culture shock and maybe I wouldn't do that now if I was in those shoes again. But yes, my mom was like, what? When I originally came out as gay, she was accepting. But then when I came out as trans, that was a whole other story. Yeah. And she was really worried about me getting hurt or getting injured by other people and not being accepted and really did not understand the purpose of it. And she had her own limiting beliefs about trans people from the media when she was younger. So it kind of really hurt our relationship for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting kicked out when I was 19 years old.
Oh.
to make a long story short, I kind of moved around a lot and kind of, you know, was on my journey of trying to find my soul family and my people and finding myself. And, you know, through different relationships and different connections, I realized that I wanted a tea for tea relationship because I wanted to feel seen and validated. And I felt like for me being with the cis men that I was with and the cis people I was with at the time, I wasn't feeling seen and recognized for my gender dysphoria. And I, you know, like I said, I just wanted to be seen and valued. And mm-hmm. I found that in Jake. And that's kind of where my story ends.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love this. I'm so glad you found each other. I just love the way you explained feeling seen by your partner. It really is so important, right? That we find somebody who really, really, really sees us. I think that's like, duh, but also, no, really, it's very important. And there, I think there are a lot of relationships where the people don't really fully see each other, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's of all types of people, you know, not.
Yeah. Right.
Not just trans people or anybody. Yeah, everybody has probably been in that position once or twice.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just both your stories are a case for representation matters. Representation matters. We need to see ourselves out there in the world. So you find each other and Riley, you're like, yeah, this is cool family. I'm on board with this. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So what happens? How'd you manage? Like, I can imagine it's difficult at times. You're blending something that's already, you know, you're coming into something that's already established. And it's also a non-conventional, in a very non-conventional way, like even more non-conventional than just a queer family. You know what I mean? So I hate the term non-conventional, but for lack of a better term, how did this all go? Let's take it down the road. And
to answer your question, it was like, I will say there were some challenges in the beginning. You know, we started trying to blend our families and I ended up moving in pretty quickly. And, you know, because Jake and I kind of like joke around and I feel like we're like a lesbian couple, like, yeah, quote unquote, U-hauled. Because you talk about how like we U-hauled it. And,
yeah, you did.
You know, not to play in the stereotypes, but I just thought,
we joke around about it. Move pretty quickly.
Yeah, we did.
But we knew.
Yeah.
When you know, it's so funny. I have my cisgender straight friend that I hang out with a lot. It's another mom friend. We were having coffee the other day. She goes, "Ooh, I have a joke for you." I'm like, "Okay." She's like, "What do lesbians do out on the first date?" And I was like, "U-Haul?" She was like, "You know it? You know that joke?" I was like, "Yes, of course I know that joke." Yes. Like, anyway, it's so, you know, it's there for a reason. We do it. I did it.
Yes.
But it's really funny.
Yes. But like I said, there was some challenges in the beginning, like, you know, trying to connect with people and, you know, connecting with his best friend at the time and her daughter. And like, you know, it's not like her daughter was at a young age where it was like, you can kind of play and, you know, play dress up and then you're like, oh, we're best friends. You know, it kind of took some time. And I think that I also had to learn how to let people in and let them in because I had grown up just doing everything on my own, being like a survivor and just being like, I'm going to take care of everything. I always have a plan B in case this doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. And I think that I had to kind of let my walls down and open up. And I feel like our best friend also had to do that too. We're very similar people in some ways, but then also very different. We're like the yin and the yang. That's what we call each other. But we had to kind of open up to each other. And I think it took a little bit of time. But then once we did, we realized how similar we were and how our interests are so similar as well. And the bond just kind of grew. And now she's literally become my sister, my soul sister.
Oh, wow. And she's straight and cisgender. And is she dating as well? Like, is there a possibility of bringing another family member in?
Well, there is a possibility. Yes, she's dating. She's putting herself out there. Like, we're all kind of like right now searching for more soul family.
Mm-hmm. Soul family. I love it.
Basically, like, it's got to be perfect. Like, that person has to align with our family in the sense like they have to be able to be like open to like, hey, we're going to all do this together. Like, we're going to continue to live as a group. So, you know, that's when that person comes, like, then yes, we'll be accepting of them as well.
The child has so many people that love them. Like, it's just a win-win, right? We're creating this whole just big, huge family unit of that's built intentionally and with love, which not many families are all intentional and with love, right? Let's be real. So you get in, you're blended, and we're all co-parenting together. And did you say there's another baby?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. Yeah, I got confused. So let's go into that.
I feel like I've always wanted a family. I always knew I wanted a family. I never knew how that was going to happen. I never had the desire to be pregnant. That was not something that I grew up with at all. I'll speak for Riley for a second. She did want a family, but also didn't know how it was going to happen. And I think we were both at a part in our lives where we were like accepting, like, because I had my daughter, my best friend's daughter, I felt like, okay, like maybe that's, you know, my shot at parenthood. And it's an awesome shot. Like, I love being a parent to her. Like, it's great. And I was like totally accepting of that and happy. There was this moment on a hayride when I looked into her eyes and like the sun like was like right behind her and her eyes like lit up all gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, I think I want to like have a baby with you. And it was like this lightning bolt of like information. And I was just like, this is crazy. And we were not together that long.
Right.
And like, I just knew, like, I was like, this is wild. Like, I have so much to process. And then so, after being together for a little while longer, we continue to get these messages like intuitively through different ways or whatever that we were supposed to be parents. And not only were we supposed to be parents, but that I was supposed to carry the baby. And that was like, that was crazy. Like, I didn't ever expect that. We did look into like surrogacy for like half a second to just basically kind of prepare ourselves, like to see like what other options there were. Because also, we didn't really medically understand how fertile we would be based on the amount of years that we had been on hormones. We didn't really have all the information on that. So
yeah, it's not like readily and easily available to find out about fertility when you're on hormones and, all, you know.
After a little bit of processing and this really funny experience where this person, we went and got an aura reading. Aura photography. Are you familiar with that at all?
Not at all. No.
Okay. But you know what an aura is?
Yes, I know aura.
It's like an energetic body beyond yours. And so there's photography equipment that actually shows you what the aura looks like.
Like it's the colors of your aura.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to know. I want to know what color mine is.
Oh my God. You should go find someone who's got the equipment.
Any aura photographers out there want to tell me my color of my aura? Let's go. Let's do this. Okay. Carry on.
So aura photography. So she had no idea my gender at birth or anything like that, my sex at birth. She had no idea that. But in her aura photography reading, she told me that I had mommy vibes. And this was the day that we were really getting all the information. Like, yes, like I, like, just like I said, intuitive hunches, they kept happening to both of us. So we're like, that's crazy. Like, how did you like say that? Why would you say that to someone like me?
Why would you say, right? She doesn't know any of your history.
But like my aura was screaming like that.
Nurturing
and like in the receptive area to have a baby. So we were like, all right, well, that's the information. That's the universe telling us we're going to have this baby. So I said, all right, well, let's start trying.
and I want to put in here that, you know, this conversation was going on for months. Mm. You know, it wasn't like, you know, we had that moment on the hayride where we did talk about it. And then we kind of just like let it go for a little bit. And then it kept on coming up and we had the conversation. And I had mentioned to Jake that I never want to pressure him in anything. The idea scared me at first, but then I was like, I have always wanted a kid and I did not really understand if that was possible for me. And, you know, with the limiting beliefs I had at the time, but I was really open to it and whatever way that was comfortable for him, because I want to respect his body and his anatomy and, you know, did not want to cause him any gender dysphoria or anything, but I wanted to tell him that I really would be happy if he carried, you know, our baby, if that was what he wanted. And to me, I felt like that was one of the most masculine things he could do, because you know, you think about masculinity in society and we talk about how masculinity is, you know, the protector. And I feel like if you're hosting this baby in your body, you're protecting it, you're honoring it through your body. And I feel like, you know, in my eyes as a trans, like, you know, for him being a trans dad carrying this baby, he's doing the ultimate sacrifice and being able to protect it even closer to him. And I really wanted him to know that I would still see him in that way, mm-hmm. and that I would support him in whatever journey he wanted to go on.
Oh, I love the flipping of the script here. Yes, yes, and yes. And also just knowing intuitively what your partner would need to hear in that time and need to feel as well, because that must have made you feel so good, Jacob.
Yeah, it definitely did.
I'm still seeing you in that, in the masculine way. I still see you for who you are, even though this is seen as this maternal, feminine thing. It doesn't have to be. I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for saying everything you said. That's so sweet.
I'm affirming you. Okay. So, but then now, okay, right. So you're already showing how much intention goes into these families of ours. And then now there are so many things to figure out. So how did you go about this? What did you do?
So I had to like really mentally wrap my head around it. Like after we got that information, like we had to have more serious talks about like, okay, like we had to stop taking our hormones, you know, mm-hmm. like there was things that we had to do for that. And we were like, it was scary. I think that I hadn't really stopped for a long time. And I didn't know, like, we didn't know what it was going to be like, mm-hmm. emotionally, you know, like how we were going to support each other emotionally through that. And I think each step of the way, like we didn't know what was going to happen. And then we ended up managing everything so well, like, throughout the whole thing. Yeah. Like we got off of hormones. We ended up getting pregnant in like record time. Like it was insane.
We like tracked it with, a tracker, and we tried like once, and then bam, a baby. I mean, like we tried for like a
one
week.
Cycle.
Yeah, whatever, like one cycle we tried.
This is so beautiful because you're like, not many queer couples get to baby dance that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the ultimate win in my mind.
Yeah. it wasn't really... ours too, and I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I feel guilty. I'm like, oh, it was so easy for us, but we never thought it would be like.
But I feel so grateful for it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it's scary because you're both going to have to get off your meds that make you feel authentically like yourself, that help you to be your true self. That is so scary. And then you both have to go through it. I've talked to couples where one person has to go off their hormones in order to get pregnant, but I've never talked to a couple. I don't think I've talked to a couple where you both had to stop your hormones. And can you just explain for those of us at home or anybody who is thinking about going this route, I think we know why you have to go off, but can you explain a little bit more of just kind of the science? I know we're so super not scientific on this show whatsoever, and I don't know any scientific terms, but maybe just go into the reasoning for going off of the hormones and the mechanics of it.
This is from my understanding of it. And I am not a doctor.
Nobody is. Disclaimer right here. Yes, None of us are doctors. This is not medical. None of us know science. And we don't use big terms, but here we go.
So from my understanding of it, Riley's hormones have a potential to make her infertile. And going off of, like, the longer she's on them, the more infertile it seems that she would become. But then when she was off, there were signs of fertility coming back that mm-hmm. we were able to check on. In my case, I think that my testosterone does not make me infertile, or doesn't cause me from like being able to get pregnant. It's not mm-hmm. birth control. But there's so little research done on trans men having hormones and carrying mm-hmm. that they're just like, nope, we're not, we don't know what it does to the baby. So we're not, just like you wouldn't take certain medications
right
when you're pregnant, that it was basically for the safety of the baby because of the unknown. We don't know what, and there's so little research done on hormone medicine period. So like, I understand. Right. And I was happy to, you know, obviously stay off for the time of the pregnancy. Cause I wanted the best for the baby.
Yeah. And at the time with all the research, because we were doing tons of research, we were looking at other seahorse dads and non-binary people who have had babies that were on hormones. And, you know, we did a ton of research and, you know, we had learned that a lot of people who were trying to have a baby, it took so long, especially, you know, for a trans woman like me, like being able to produce, there was a lot of research that said because of the spironolactone that, you know, you take to lower your testosterone, you know, it really can affect your fertility, like Jake said. So we were under the impression for us that all the research that we did, even though there wasn't that much information out there, research on it, we knew that from other couples, it was going to probably take a while. And we were kind of ready for that. And, you know, a little fun little backstory is that we wrote, we have a little bulletin board in our bathroom and we wrote, we are having a baby on it. And we like stuck it up on the bulletin board and we're like, we're going to have a baby. And we were like, yes, like we're just going to try. We're going to go with it. And, you know, we were off our hormones for about like, I was off them for like 3 months, I believe. And he was off them for like 2 months. And then we tried the second month that he was off. And then, like I said, we found out the next month that he was pregnant. We found out on Mother's Day. And it was such a good gift for me. Like, I remember Jake had gotten a Winnie the Pooh stuffed animal for me and was like, oh, like before we even knew, he was like, I just want you to know that, you know, whenever you become a mom, like this is for you since you love Winnie the Pooh and, you know, this is for you to celebrate that someday you will be a mom. And then that night we took the pregnancy test and it came back positive. We were like, so it was just like a full, it made me feel seen and we were so excited. And yeah that's kind of where it started for us.
Wow. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right, I'm just going to jump right in right now, because if Jacob and Riley's talk of manifesting that baby of theirs inspired you in any way, I have a code for you, because not all of us get to baby dance the old-fashioned way. You know what I mean? Many of us don't. Many of us are going to need a little bit of help, and that's why my code with California Cryobank comes in real handy in shows like this. If you use code LOVEISLOVE, you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. So you can start looking at the different donor options they have if you need sperm, if you need a little help in the sperm department to make your baby. And they have a really diverse selection of donors there. And they've been doing amazing, amazing things for the L'Québécois community and helping us build our families for 45 years and counting, y'all. They are really doing the work to help us out. And I want to uplift companies that are showing up for queer folks all over the place. So if you're getting ready to start thinking about building that family and you need help in the sperm department, you're going to go to cryobank.com. You're going to use code LOVEISLOVE, and that's going to get you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. It can also be used, this code, LOVEISLOVE, for a discount on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more info and more things regarding the donors. So go check them out. Go start shopping for sperm. And maybe, just maybe, you will find that perfect donor that's going to help you create the family of your dreams. Let's go. Let's make the babies and then come tell me about them. Okay, back to the story.
Love is love.
Well, that's amazing. And so you were off the testosterone for 3 months, and then did you stay off for a little while longer just in case, or were you able to go right back? I mean, no, Riley, not testosterone, estrogen.
So I actually like was off it for a lot longer than I needed to. Mm-hmm. I felt that I wanted just to be sure that this pregnancy was obviously, you know, healthy and that kind of stuff. And I didn't get back on them, honestly, until our son was born. Like couple months after he was born, I got back on them. And I think that was to do with, A, wanting to make sure everything went well and everything was safe. But then also, because I didn't want to go back and forth. But also, I wanted to kind of support Jake through that journey as well. And be like, all right, if you're going to have to be off them this whole pregnancy, I want to be off them too. And like, obviously, I'm not saying that's anyone should, you know, sacrifice their mental health or, you know, whatever for their partner. But I felt okay within myself enough to be like, you know what, I'm going to do this with him. We're on this journey together and I don't care. I'm going to do it with him.
Oh, that's so sweet. I didn't even stop drinking when my wife was pregnant. And neither did she when I was pregnant. So y'all are way better than me. Oh my God. So you're pregnant, you get there, and it doesn't seem like it's too terribly hard to both be off of your hormones, which, lucky, that's amazing, because I've heard that it can be really, really detrimental to your health and your mental well-being. So that is awesome and yay. And now you're pregnant. So how does this go? How'd it go? How was it? And how was it showing up in the world? And, you know, let's get into the nitty gritty.
First of all, I never get to talk about this, so it's super fun. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't want to be too invasive. So if I ask anything that's too nosy, you just tell me butt the hell out.
No, I love it. So to my very much huge surprise, I was hugely surprised. I loved being pregnant. It did not cause me dysphoria. I did grow a really long beard.
Because it was obnoxiously long.
I want to say, like, for the most part, I felt like it didn't cause me dysphoria. But then looking back at that beard, and I was like, that beard looks like it came from a place of feeling like I wanted to be, I guess, a little bit more masculine.
Yeah. Does that make sense? That was your tie to kind of your masculinity. Yeah,
like, it was the longest it's ever been. But besides that, it was, I really enjoyed being pregnant. I really loved.
Once again, you're showing that you are a better person than me.
No, I think everyone's pregnancy is different.
I know. I'm just playing. I just have to bring the joke back to that. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I interrupted.
Keep going. Okay. No. I love it. Yeah. I loved it. I love being pregnant. I was so, so lucky. I got pregnant in May. We found out that we were pregnant in May.
Yes.
So the summertime, I wasn't showing. And then the wintertime, I wore coats. And no one looked at my stomach and was like, is there a baby in there? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I looked like I had like a beer belly or something.
A beer
like
belly.
That, you know? So I work in a small restaurant, like a family owned restaurant. We have few employees, and 10% of the people know that I'm trans, and most of them don't. I just never really need to share that with a lot of people. But then I did share that with pretty much everybody by being pregnant, because I was like, I'm not going to be able to hide this.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah.
And that actually was received pretty well from what I could understand. Like, if people talked, which I'm sure they did, they were very respectful. I didn't hear any type of like, you know, talking badly or anything like that. So really, it was.
That's good.
Literally the best situation I could imagine. Like, it, you know, I like no one was harassing me throughout the whole thing. I felt like I wasn't sick a lot. I wasn't crazy emotional. I did cry a lot more than I was used to, because my testosterone affects me in a way that makes it really hard for me to cry. But when I was pregnant, I cried a good amount, but like happy tears. Like, they were really like, it was really nice. Like, it was like, I felt, I don't know, like, it's kind of crazy. I guess I feel like as a, it put me in touch with my feminine side. And I think that everybody has a feminine and a masculine side. And I think that it's very healthy to integrate them. And I think that the pregnancy allowed me to do that. I feel like more integrated as a person now, to be honest.
Oh, that's beautiful. Like, you're just a more whole person having gone through that. I can't imagine not having the ability to cry. I don't know what that would feel like.
It's hard. It makes you, it makes a lot of people more angry. It's not nice. It was so relieving to cry. And when you feel something and you don't know what to do with it, you know, I think exercising is really good for anybody that can't cry out there. Exercising is great. But yeah, it's not the best feeling, to be honest. Like, no. I do miss being able to cry a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine going from being able to cry and then that's a whole nother thing. And actually gives you so much insight, I feel like.
It does. Yeah. Hormones are crazy what they do to people. And it does give you a lot of insight into how people can be so different and express differently.
More whole, well-rounded person right there. There you go. Listen, if this world was flipped upside down, the world would be a much better place.
I don't know if you've looked outside, but it's flipping right now. We're in the process of the flip.
Like, flipping in the right direction, though.
Yeah, I think it goes like, I don't know. I feel like it gets bad before it gets good, but we're flipping.
Okay.
We're flipping.
All right, we're going to
make changes out there.
We're going to do it. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Let's make the positive change. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
So pregnancy goes great. And Riley, how are you feeling throughout the pregnancy? Like, did you have any, like, what was it for you?
Overall, it was really good for me. I loved watching Jake be very vulnerable and be more in touch with his feminine side. It was really nice for me to see that side of him, because I'd always seen him as so masculine and mm-hmm. such, like, you know, in a different light, and seeing him in a softer era for him, I was like, oh, like, that's so sweet. And I remember he was like one day crying in the bathroom being like, I love you, like, you're the best ever, you're such a good, you know, partner, you do so much for me, this baby's so lucky to have you. And like, you know, that was definitely very sweet, and I will never forget that memory. And I remember, you know, I did have to grieve a little bit, because, you know, as a trans woman, I had always wanted to carry my own child. And I really dreamed of having that moment. I remember, you know, there's been times where I would have dreams of carrying my own child, and, you know, coming to terms that I wouldn't be the quote unquote mom that like society knows of was really hard for me. And, you know, I did express that vulnerable feeling that I had with Jake, and, you know, he was very supportive and very there for me. And what I realized in that moment was that, you know, even though I couldn't do it, the only other person I would want to do it would be my partner. And I was very grateful that he was going on this journey for us, and, you know, for us to have a family and to have our child that we, you know, we both really wanted since a young age. So the pregnancy was very beautiful to watch, and, you know, watching him grow, you know, our son grow inside him, and seeing all the ultrasounds, and, like, you know, I would sing to our baby, like, his belly, like, every night.
It was a really special time.
And then, you know, being there for the labor and how intense it was and how crazy it was, but in, like, such a beautiful way, you know, you're literally bringing life into this world. And I think that is such a beautiful thing that people's bodies can do. And, you know, being able to see my son for the first time and hold him, at first I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a little alien. Like, this is different, you know.
It's very surreal. Yeah.
Yes. And then, you know, but it clicked, and I felt, you know, those mother instincts come in. And I remember also for us, I wanted to add that we really struggled with the terms mom and dad in the beginning. Like, we were really worried.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to call ourselves like Mimi and Didi as like a different, you know, more gender neutral terms in a sense. And I think it was our way of not feeling valid or good enough to be mom, me being mom and him being dad.
Yeah, like imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that.
But then after he was born, it clicked much. I think that you can't see yourself in certain roles until you are there. You know? And I think that maybe other cis people feel the same way, and they just,
you don't think it through, right? Because, I get what you're saying completely, just because, like, I couldn't see myself as a mom before I was a mom at all. I didn't have the capacity to even understand that. However, I never thought about the word mom, just because obviously I'm just going to be mom. Like, I just become a mom. Whereas you have things to think through, and our minds are opened more when we are living the quote unquote non normal way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so we're better people for it.
I mean, you know, there's a lot, like you said, like, there's a lot of thought, there's a lot of reflection, like, there's so much intention and that goes into it, and, you know, and to come and making all this make sense. So I think you're right. Yeah.
Did you embrace mom and dad in the end, or, like, what happened? How did that happen? Was it like you hold your baby and you're like, I'm mom?
Yeah, soon after he was born, I felt like we started to, like, just call each other that and call that to our son. We call that, if, does that make sense? We use those names for him.
Yeah. Mommy and daddy.
Yes.
Right.
In the beginning, it was, we did try, you know, the first month that he was born, we did try to do Mimi and Dee Dee, and then it just, like, didn't resonate with us, and it didn't feel right. And then eventually mom and the terms mom and dad kind of took over, and we were like, yeah, like that just fits us more. And once we got more settled into our roles and like kind of understood, you know, that our whole life was changing and that we were accepting of the change and embracing our roles, we were like, okay, like it's okay. We're allowed to feel valid in our roles and that we are worthy of it.
And however it all shakes out is the best way,
yeah,
you know,
yes, exactly.
And you're doing it all so beautifully and you're being so intentional. The intentionality you brought to even your modern family that you have with the whole family and then the baby making, I know you're going to bring in the intentionality to every aspect of your parenting. And that's the beauty of us queer folks as parents. Yeah. We're freaking amazing. We are.
Right?
And don't forget it. Don't forget it. So now, how old is baby?
He's, what, 14 months now?
Yeah.
Yeah, 14 months.
Congratulations. And how's it all going with everything, with the whole family?
It's going so well. Yeah, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, our friend's daughter and our son, they get along so beautifully. And it's like a sibling relationship. Yeah. And
which she really craved. She really craved mm-hmm. that. You know, she was 10 when he was born. So that's a long time to be an only child, you know.
Right. And she's taken to it nicely.
Oh, yeah. Yes. She's so nurturing and she's so sweet. They get along. Aww. It's crazy how cute they are together. Like, and that's like, I can see, even though she's not like my biological child, like I see that there's like a soul connection between the two of them. And I'm yeah. like, I still somehow facilitated that. Like, I think it's so cool. I love watching them all mm-hmm. together. It's great. He's really like, we were already close together. Like, we were a close family unit, but I think that Jasper or my son has bonded us completely
yeah.
Together as a family.
As one big unit. I yes. love how you're like one of the few queer couples who actually gets to have a genetic tie, both of you, to yeah. a child. But you yes. still managed to get yourself a non-bio kid, too.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah.
So it's a real queer family story right there.
Yes.
So you get to experience what it feels like as well to have that non-bio connection and
which
how
really
strong
beautiful
and
too.
Deep that
yeah.
can be, right?
Yeah.
Which is just freaking beautiful. You're getting, like, once again, more well-rounded of a life, like just of all the perspectives and all the insights that you can get from all the different sides of things.
Right.
You're mm-hmm. getting them, which... Why wouldn't we want that, right?
Exactly.
Why
collaboration.
Wouldn't we want, yeah, more perspective, more yeah. insight, all the things. So I love that. Aww.
Thanks. We really love it too. It's yeah. it's awesome. And we love talking about it, to be honest. It's really, it's nice. It's
yes.
relieving.
And it's nice too, because our best friend, you know, she wants a second kid, but she's, you know, she feels like she's getting to the age where it may not happen for her, and she's kind of accepting that, but she's told us multiple times that she's so glad that we had a baby, because now she gets to, like, outlive that with us and get to mm-hmm. experience it all, but it's not hers, so she doesn't have to deal with all the things, but she gets, yeah. you know, she gets to experience it and, you know, watch him grow, and, you know, it's really nice that she sees it in that light.
Yeah.
People hearing stories that are cathartic and also people being able to tell their stories. I think that is in line. So share what you do.
Yeah. So, well, I'm a life purpose coach for queer folk. And it's so funny because I've been feeling this way for a little bit. And I saw one of your episodes recently where the person said, I'm sorry. The person said that she felt like she was like listening to like her soul's guidance. I'm paraphrasing, but like basically that like being queer was like a calling.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
What she said, yeah. And like, so I had already felt that way for a little while and I didn't really understand how to properly put it into words because it felt like a little bit strange to feel that way. What I'm saying is that throughout my life, I've kind of followed different like, you know, guidance. And I feel like it's, you know, part of my purpose to be on here and share our family story and to help people connect. And it's also my purpose to help other queer people live their purpose and understand what it's like to listen to not just a gay calling, but any kind of calling that is important to them, I guess, you know? And that's the way that I'd really like to give back to our community. I like to think of it sort of also as like queer empowerment, you know, like,
yeah.
I think people, we are right now in a time of history where, you know, unfortunately, oppression is a big theme of ours. And I'd like to do what I can to empower people. Who wants to feel that way? Who wants to feel oppressed? So I want to change it.
Who wants to feel that way? But I do. Right. I love the idea. And I'm trying to think of the guest's name who said that first. Heather. I think it was Heather.
Okay.
Who said, awesome. See, I have a bad memory too, but I think it was Heather. But I love it. I love the idea of queerness as a calling because it's empowering as opposed to the opposite and what it usually is. When you think of queerness as a calling to your higher purpose, your higher self, sky's the limit. And when I think about it that way, I realize I am literally living my life in my queer calling space. Like this, I do this because of my queerness. And it's given me so much purpose in my life. And I don't know who I would be without this thing that I do now. Right? It's become so much of my identity and it is rooted in my queerness 100%.
Yeah. And you were called to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like however you want to look at it, it's that's the truth. And like, I think that you raise up our community and that's part of it. Like it's, you know, like that's, you're being called to like raise our community up and like we all as a community are called to come together and do that for each other. So, you know, thanks.
To empower ourselves because without that empowerment, it's the exact opposite, right? Because that's what society tries to do.
Right.
When it comes to queerness or the LGBTQIA community, they put us down. Society puts this down, but it doesn't have to be that this way. We have a power and we need to use it. And if we think about queerness as a power, a superpower, I love it. We sound so funny, right? I don't know, but for real.
No, it is a superpower.
For real.
And like what I've recognized or what I've noticed, and this isn't true for every single person, of course, everybody's different, but there's a level of self-awareness that goes along with completely stepping outside of societal norms. I'm sorry, it makes you more enjoyable to be around when you're more self-aware.
Agree.
And that's, you know, like, it's just important to put that out there, like, you know, like maybe more people would, I don't know if it like intimidates people or what, like, I don't know what it is, like why they want to stomp it down. But like, I think that, you know, they're obviously afraid for a reason. I think it's a good thing that we're doing what we do, you know.
We need more queer empowerment all over. So if folks want to reach out to you, where can people find you and get their queer empowerment? Let's go.
Yeah. So my coaching website is prideandpurposecoaching.com. I have the domain, but I'm not completely set up on the website yet. I still have a little bit of time to work on it, but I am on Instagram and Facebook as well. And it's Pride and Purpose Coaching.
Okay. So people can find you there and that'll be linked in the show notes too. And if you want to, you know, reach out to Jacob for some queer empowerment, you can DM him at the socials.
Yes.
We can start it that way. Yeah. This has been such a great talk. I feel empowered. I feel like happy to be queer talking to the two of you. So thank you. That was a nice gift.
You actually do that for me. Like listening to your show helped me feel a little bit like closer to our community, to be honest. And that's something that's really important to me. So thank you.
Don't make me cry. Don't do it to me. thank you. This has been really great. This is going to be a super awesome episode. I can't wait to share your convo, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. It means a lot. And, you know, I think that there's so many different ways that we get to live our lives as queer people. And I just really appreciate that you create space for all different types of people to come together and share their journeys in their unique way. And that's something really special that you do. And I appreciate that you have given us this opportunity to kind of express our own unique journey. And, you know, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you.
Oh, that make me cry. Stop. Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you. This is a queer love fest right here. Well, that didn't sound right.
Hey, we could change the way that sounds. We'll still call it a queer love fest. We'll just change the meaning of it.
Yeah, we're going to turn that one around.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you once again to California Cryobank for sponsoring this here little show for an entire year of episodes. Go to cryobank.com, use code LOVEISLOVE, and get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go do it. Let's make those babies and uplift these queer families, y'all. Thank you.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.